CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. June 2015. The United States Office of Personnel Management, OPM, the hack, 22.1 million records were affected, according to Wikipedia, including records related to government employees, including the most secure employees whom I've met over the years, having their private information purloined, we can presume at this point, by a bad actor, and all eyes shift towards Shanghai. Francis Rose, who is the new guru of the federal government with Francis Rose, a podcast launching in mid-January, is here to give us a preview of his podcast because he has a lengthy conversation with someone involved in responding to the OPM hack to develop the resources and the protocols and the scorecard that allows 17 government agencies to know how they're doing, especially when it comes to cybersecurity. Francis, a very good evening to you. Your podcast is revelatory, chiefly because I have to translate all the acronyms. But let's begin with the OPM hack. The OPM hack happened because we were insecure. We did not have good defensive mechanisms for the bad actors who attacked. The scorecard that you feature in your most recent podcast and the conversation you have with your colleagues, is that a direct response to the OPM, or did that just be, is that developed to provide security for all of these agencies? In other words, was it happenstance? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on the program. The response to the answer to that question is, yeah, kind of. The Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act, FITARA, became law in 2015, and the first FITARA scorecard, which the episode of my podcast, The Federal Government Today, talks about, the first scorecard came out that summer, 2015. And the goal was not to track cybersecurity because of the OPM breach, but the legislation happened at about that passed and became law at about the same time that the breach happened. It had been in development and debate for a period of time before it became law. And because of the hack, cybersecurity became one of the most important components on which agencies were graded as a result of this scorecard. Over time, the agencies have been graded on different things, depending on what has changed over time. You know, it's been 6-7 years now, and this most recent scorecard is the 15th that the Government Accountability Office and congressional staff have worked on together. And so the items that they grade have changed, but the core concepts have stayed the same, and that is, how secure are agencies technology-wise? How are they consolidating and modernizing and transforming their technology organizations to respond to whatever the current administration expects out of them? And how are they laying the groundwork to be able to continue to evolve and develop into the future,
John? So the scorecard is twice a year, and the agencies care a deal about it. There's testimony before the House Oversight and Reform Government Operations Subcommittee about this, and your lengthy conversation with your colleague, David Powner, talks about the development of this scorecard. Is it working, Francis? What's the general opinion of all these 17 agencies?
Well, I would actually say, well, first of all, regarding the agencies themselves, they would say, yes, the scorecard is helping us. And the main reason that I think the agencies would say it's helping them is because one of the original requirements of the scorecard was that the chief information officer, the senior most technology leader in each agency, was supposed to report to either the secretary of the agency or the deputy secretary of the agency. In a federal agency, the equivalents to a private sector company, the secretary functions as the CEO and the deputy secretary functions as the COO of the agency. And the CIO, the chief information officer, was supposed to, but didn't in many cases at the time of the passage of this law, report to one of those senior leaders. They were treated in many cases as kind of secondary, tertiary level leadership employees. And that's been the greatest change. The last edition, the most recent edition of the FITARA scorecard, I think it was either 15 or 16 or maybe all 17 agencies. I don't have the scorecard in front of me. Their CIOs, their top technology leaders, now report directly to the senior most decision makers of the agency. So I think the agencies would say that's the most That's the best result that they've gotten as a result of the scorecard. Where I really take my guidance, though, is from Dave Pounder, because he was one of the architects when he was at the Government Accountability Office of building this thing out in the first place. And his comment, I don't mean to give away the end of the podcast, but he made the remark this time that overall, the scorecard is working because it's tracking the things that are important for agencies, not just to do to check boxes off, but to really actually have more secure and more forward-leaning technology operations.
There's some special language here we need to touch on. What is zero trust? What does that mean for the scorecard for these agencies?
Zero trust is a concept, a school of thought about cybersecurity that determines that you sign on, and instead of using a username, John Batchelor, and a password that you determine, and automatically, the system automatically assuming that because you're using that username and that password, it must be you, there are other verification methods that it uses. In some cases, some agencies are using multi-factor authentication that includes pinging a mobile device that the user is supposed to have their other functions too. And then also, it's not an all or nothing type of access to the network. In the case of John Batchelor, the case of Francis Rose, you might have access to only these fractions of an agency's operation. And if you try to go into another area, you'll be denied that access. That's the concept behind zero trust. It's something that the private sector has used for a number of years, but it's just within the last year and a half that it's really become more common in the federal government.
Now the acronyms. This is all under the umbrella of the GAO. Do I read that? Is that correct? The GAO?
The Government Accountability Office works with the Oversight and Reform Government Operations Subcommittee that you mentioned earlier to put the scorecard together. They go through the information that the agencies and the administration submit and formulate these grades. But they're the ones that do the heavy lifting, the Government Accountability Office.
And yes. For those of you who want to know who's the A student, it's the GSA. They get it 94. Is that a good number, Francis? Were they pleased? Because, you know, it's not 100.
Yeah, that's a good number on cybersecurity. A number of the agencies scored in the 80th, but there was only one agency that scored that got an A grade overall over the entire scope of this, because it's not just cybersecurity. That's an important component, but there are others too. And the only agency to score an A was USAID, the Agency for International Development, which ironically has a new chief information officer. Jason Gray has only been at USAID for 4 months, I think he said, at this hearing. He appeared at this hearing. But he was at the Education Department before that, and they were one of the agencies that scored very high on cybersecurity.
Francis, this is all encouraging. However, I need to understand where this is going, what's the mission is. For example, we're told that we're under cyber attack all the time by bad actors, not just state bad actors. I mean, criminal bad actors. And so these agencies, do they now consider themselves secure, or is this a work in progress? Is there a sense that we've got much more to do?
Well, one of the things, John, that's changed dramatically since I came into this space 16 years ago, and especially since the OPM hack, is I don't think there's any agency information technology leader that would ever say we're secure. The assumption now is we're going to be attacked hundreds and hundreds of times a day. And we probably will be penetrated. Some of those attacks will probably be successful. And so how do we limit access to the bad actors inside of our networks? That's the basic concept of zero trust, is that when somebody gets in, they're going to have some way to be able to move around rather than being firewalled. The example I get all the time is, yeah, maybe the bad guys can break the lock and get in the front door, but they can't get into the living room, and they can't get into the kitchen, and they can't get upstairs into the bedrooms and so on. That's the analogy that a lot of people use. But I don't think anybody in the government anymore pretends that they're ever going to be secure and that this is going to be anything but an ongoing fight to try to maintain security levels.
Final detail. You had a lengthy conversation with David Pounder, who's outside of government now. He's director of the Center for Data-Driven Policy at MITRE, M-I-T-R-E. Is he satisfied with the way the scorecard is developing?
Yeah, he said on the program he likes the way that it's going, and he and a group of people who have been in government, some still in, some out of government now, an organization called ACT IAC that I've done a lot of work with over the years, have submitted recommendations to grow the 16th, 17th, 18th version of this scorecard coming up again in about 6 months. And a lot of the things that they've suggested over time have been the things that have gotten eventually incorporated into the versions that we've seen in the past. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of their recommendations incorporated into the next edition of the scorecard that will come out next summer.
And I mentioned the GSA at 94, which is a collection of scorecards, not just cybersecurity. And the Department of Justice is 88. That's a good number.
Yep.
And yep. The other agencies are playing catch up. So we got at the top of the pile the GSA and the DOJ. Good for them.
That's right. The agencies, this is the other thing that has been a good exercise, according to a couple of the former chief information officers of the United States that work out of OMB. It's competitive. Agencies don't want to be at the bottom, and they want to be as near to the top or at the top if they can possibly achieve it. So it's driving competition, and it's driving the results that ultimately Congress wanted when they passed the law.
Just like final exams twice a year, Francis Rose, the new program is the federal government. Today with Francis Rose, this is a preview. It launches in mid-January. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.